As we open to our experience more directly, we notice the obvious moment to moment and as the continuity gets stronger, as we have a little more momentum of the mindfulness so that we're aware of what's happening moment to moment to moment to moment, we begin to recognize that what's happening, what's arising, it's not random. It's conditioned. It's related to what has happened in the past, to experiences we've had, to ways we've engaged. To understandings that have been absorbed from our families and cultures. It's related, it's conditioned. Connected with what else is happening right now in this moment. So not only from the past, but also what's arising now. And interestingly, it is also conditioned by our beliefs, our ideas, our views about what might happen in the future. And seeing this conditioning, this non-randomness, conditioned nature of experience, is an important part of understanding our human experience, understanding things as they are, how things come to be, things as they have come to be. And the what of experience, the body sensations, the mental experience, these experiences, these aspects of experience affect and condition each other, bodily processes, mental processes at work. Physical and mental. Our mind, our the way our minds work tends to integrate these processes of body and mind together into what seems like a kind of a one whole experience. And that not seeing that these are, this process of seeing it as a whole experience is actually something our mind is doing, is one of the ways that delusion creeps in. And so it can help to start to be curious about these different processes at work and exploring not only that they are different, but how they interrelate and how they do kind of interweave and interconnect. Seeing this is very helpful. One of the easiest ways to begin to notice this distinction is between physical experience and mental experience. What is physical and what is mental? Our mind weaving them together, sometimes we actually aren't so clear about the difference between physical and mental. They sound like they should be so obviously different, but our minds actually confuse them. And so we can be curious about direct body sensation and our relationship to that might be an emotional reaction, a response, an anger, a fear, a frustration, confusion. This one is one of the easier ones to see the difference between stubbing our toe and being frustrated. It's pretty clearly different, mental versus physical. A little more subtle difference has to do with feeling tone. That unpleasantness of the stubbed toe. There's the sensation of aching or pulsing or throbbing, and the unpleasant experience. Those may be a little closer interpreted as more than like almost identical or the same. And yet the understanding in Buddhist psychology is that pleasant, unpleasant, neutral quality is mental, not physical. And so we can perhaps begin to be curious about what is the actual physical sensation and the recognition or the understanding or the feeling of it as pleasant, unpleasant, neutral. We may not initially be able to really tease them apart, but we can see the different threads of that experience, perhaps as different views and through different lenses of the experience. And then there's the aspect of the mental process of perception. The recognition of what's happening as experience. There's a seeing and a recognition of what is seen. Form and color is what the eye receives, and then the mind recognizes tree, flower, person, and the physical aspect of form and color, and the mind recognizing two different things. They're dependent and interrelated processes. Conditioning each other. We hear pitch and tone, and then interpret, understand, car, bird. Different processes at work. Again, our minds tend to weave this into a coherent experience. Weave these different threads of our processes together It's useful that our minds do this. And yet it can be obscuring of what is actually happening. So we're not trying to stop the interweaving, but we are trying to understand it. We might see someone doing something, and then in our mental world have an interpretation of why they are doing that thing. Again, a mental process in dependence on the physical, the seeing, but also in this case, in dependence on many conditions from the past of why we would interpret that particular action as meaning something. So really helpful to begin to recognize what is our conditioning contributing to our experience. How do these conditioned relationships between processes work? Body experience can condition mental experience, physical experience, sensation of burning, condition reactivity. Mental experience can condition physical experience. A reactivity arising, that burning arises, and then we have a reactivity, fear or anger. That mental experience in turn conditions our bodies, affects our bodies. Anger may feel like a rising of pressure and heat. Fear have this response in the body of contraction, withdrawal, and contraction and pushing. Mental experience conditioning physical experience. Mind can condition mind. This is a lot of what goes on in our system. A thought arises. A memory arises, conditioning an emotional response, remembering a situation with a partner, a conversation that arises as a thought, conditioning perhaps the arising of some feelings related to that conversation. Those feelings in turn conditioning other thoughts. How can I fix this? How can I make them think this way instead of that way? Mind conditioning mind. As we see this conditioned nature of experience, seeing the dependency of one experience upon another, one major thing we recognize is that suffering is conditioned by the arising of greed, aversion, and delusion. We also begin to recognize greed, aversion, and delusion as mental processes that are themselves conditioned. This is good news because things that are conditioned are not locked into those. They're conditioned. They arise in dependence. And so a shift of conditions can shift the arising, create conditions for the non-arising of greed, aversion, and delusion. We see essentially suffering is optional, conditioned, powerfully conditioned, but not necessary. And seeing the conditioned nature of experience also begins to weaken our kind of sense that there's a me in charge and me in control, and I doing things, in charge of things. And because we see our experience as an unfolding of natural processes, not me, not mine, not who I am, it's this natural unfolding, like given the conditions, those redwood trees grow very naturally. Conditions allow, and conditions are in a certain way, the trees will grow. There doesn't need to be proposed a tree being that does the growing. The natural processes at work, our experience unfolding. And so we explore creating the conditions in which this understanding, this seeing can happen. Establishing mindfulness with the curiosity of understanding our human experience. Simple conditions, relaxation, awareness, being aware, and the continuity of the mindfulness. It's really where the power of the seeing happens. The power of the mindfulness comes with this having, it doesn't have to be a long stretch of continuity even, just little moments or bursts of seeing moment to moment to moment to moment. We start to see this conditioned nature of experience. And so we don't have to try to see it. Our work is to establish the mindfulness, hearing the information. That too is a condition. hearing the information about what can be seen when mindfulness is established, adds a condition. In this moment, that may support the witnessing of conditionality. And so our work is simple. Relax. Aware. Aware. Already aware. Already aware of what? Moment after moment, witnessing. Being with. Life being lived through our organism, our being.